I'd ask you to take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 4, and I want to speak to you briefly just touching on adoption, the choice of God. Adoption didn't originate in the heart of man, but it originated in the heart of God. And so I want to just touch on nine different truths about adoption that you find spiritually. We are adopted by God, and then the parallel of that in the adoptive parents' relationship to the child whom they adopt. And so you'll see that parallel. So let me give you these. In Galatians 4, you find the first one, that adoption is the heart of God. In verse 4 and 5, he says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." And so when you look at verse 4, the fullness of time, this was planned long ago, and at the right time, God brought it to pass. So why was Jesus born? Why was He born of a virgin? Why was He born at the time that He was? Well, that's in verse 5. And you'll see the first word, so that, or the first two words, and then on in the verse there's the word that. Those are both translated from the same Greek word that tells you the purpose. So first you see, so that He could redeem them that were under the law. That's not the penalty of the law. That's covered in chapter 3, verse 13. But this is so He could redeem mankind under the law, in bondage to the law. And then the second one is the word that, and that is that we might receive the adoption of sons. So the reason that Christ came was to take us out from slavery under the law in bondage that we were in and we could not get out of, but to go further than that, to adopt us as His children. Look at verse 7. "Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." We're not slaves seeking acceptance, trying to merit or work for God's love, but we have become adopted children, and in that, we get everything from God if we were His only begotten Son and all of His blessings because we're an heir. And Jesus says, joint heirs. John 1, 12 through 13 says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right not just be forgiven, but to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." Adoption is the process whereby we, who were not children of God, become full, in every sense, children of God. That same thing transpires in adoption. Second, adoption is a costly sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "And you were redeemed with a price." And the word redeem is to be bought. And it wasn't literal money that we were bought with. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:18, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold." What were we bought with? With the payment of His only begotten Son. God only has one Son that, if you will, is biological. The rest are adopted. So the one Son that has the nature of God, He gave Him. He paid the price for adoption. It is the greatest price, but He did it willingly and lovingly, and He did it without regret. In verse 5, you see the word redeem? It means to buy out. It means to pay a ransom. One Greek lexicon says it this way, and listen to this very carefully: to cause the release or freedom of someone by a means which proves costly to the individual causing the release. The price that's paid in our redemption was a costly price to the one who did it. And that same truth is true in adoption. We are set free because of the vicarious death of Christ, that He died in our place. You know what adoption is? It is the same thing. When Christ died for us, He gave His life so that others could have life. And adoption is the giving of a life to give someone a life. As with God, adoptive parents have chosen to do that. They have chosen to give that life. That's what an adoptive parent is doing. An adoptive parent is choosing to give the rest of their life so that that child might have life. This child is not theirs biologically, like we were not God's. He had one. But we are God's now through adoption, and so is the child. As with God, the adoptive parents could have chosen not to sacrifice for the child. But what they did willingly, lovingly, and without regret. You say, well, when I listen to what you're saying so far, what's the difference between an adopted child and a biological child? Well, nothing. That's the point. The most well-known Greek text, when it comes to the word redeemed, it translates it, he might buy out. Adopting a child is an expensive endeavor. It is so financially, as again, I just can't reiterate enough how costly it is to adopt in most cases. And sometimes we can be talking between $10,000 and $30,000. It is financially expensive, but it is also personally expensive, because what that adoptive parents are doing is, when they adopt, they are saying, we are giving you the rest of our life. But it's also devotionally expensive, because they are setting their devotion upon this child again for the rest of their life. It is an unfettered commitment. But they do it like God, willingly and lovingly and without regret. Third thing I would have you notice is that adoption is redemptive. Without redemption in the spiritual plan of God, there would be no adoption. But if there was no adoption, redemption would be incomplete. Job 33:28, He has redeemed my soul from going to the pit, and my life shall see light. We were bought out of eternal death, and children many times are adopted out of the clutches of abortion. You see, if adoption was not an option for a mom caught in this situation, whether by her own devices or not, if she finds herself in adoption as not a real viable option, in a culture that almost extols abortion, more would be aborted. Psalms 103:4, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Redemption is a deliverance that wears a crown, and that crown is loving kindness and compassion. And that's the crown of adoption. In Psalms 119:134, redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Some children are redeemed, adopted out of a life of oppression, of abuse, neglect, deprivation, and lovelessness. In Isaiah 63:9, in His love and in His mercy, He redeemed them, and He lifted them and carried them all the days of old. Adoption is an act of love and mercy. Lamentations 3:58, O Lord, You have pleaded my soul's case. You have redeemed my life. Some children are adopted away from a childhood death or a premature death in the environment they're growing up in. And Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Adoption gives a child opportunities in life that are not available where they are. And all of us are familiar with the movie Blindside, and you have Mike in there who was adopted. And I remember a part of that where his friend, who had all kind of abilities in football, but he died at 21. He didn't have the opportunities that were afforded to Mike by adoption. And you can look throughout this church, but anywhere of adoption. And that same theme is found over and over and over again. This child would not have these grand opportunities. The fourth thing I would say is that adoption is a planned and free choice. It's a free choice. Again, God chose. He wasn't coerced. He wasn't forced. He didn't have to adopt. John 15, verse 16 and following, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. I chose you out of the world." Listen, adoptive parents make a choice. It is a decision. It doesn't just happen by osmosis. They're not just at home one day and one of them walks in the bedroom and goes, "Whoa, there's a child sitting in our bedroom. How'd they get there? Well, I guess we must have adopted." No, no, no. It's a decision. It is a choice like God made of us. It is planned. Look at Galatians 4:4. "In the fullness of time." Christ's coming was not an afterthought. It wasn't something that God decided and all of a sudden it just happened. But it was a plan. He actualized it at a certain point called the fullness of time. Adoptive parents, they have the right mate. It is the right time. They've gone through things. And then God, I believe, providentially has the child that He wants them to have. It's not an accident. It's not just a reaction. Or it's not just a kind of something that passes over a moment or two. Maybe it is that they see a need. They have children, can have children, but they see a need and God touches their heart in that area. Or maybe it's just an opportunity that comes up and they have thought about it and all of a sudden here it is. Maybe it is because they thought they would have children and now biologically they can't, or they have biological children but they can't have others, or they realize inside of them, this is the key, that there is love for children that is not being exhausted by their present state. Now I believe that God does have couples that are barren because of the way He's going to use them and where He's going to use them. But many times if you are a couple or a couple's there and you don't have children or the children you have, they have not exhausted the love for children that you have in you. That is one of the great indicators for somebody walking with Christ that God may be moving in the area of adoption. And that is already working in that way. Sometimes it is a process of years. I've seen it take as long as 8 years. Before the time that the first thought came until the time of adoption. Plan. Verse 5, or the fifth thing. Adoption is timeless, act of grace. It is timeless. Jesus said, "And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." What God did in adopting us, it is timeless. Now, some have foster parented, and we've talked about that, shared some of that this morning. But that's for a time. Adoption is timeless. And sometimes, in the short time of foster parenting, God deals with the heart and moves into adoption. It is not only timeless, but it's an act of grace. We all know Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 describing our salvation, our adoption. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. We did not do anything to merit it. We cannot do anything to keep it or to earn it along the way. It is an act of grace in God's life that we are saved, or that we are His adopted children. And the adopted child didn't merit it. They didn't do anything. They didn't work, help raise the money. They didn't do anything. And they don't do anything to stay in the family. They are, once adopted, it's kind of like a biological child. They just are your child. The sixth thing I would note is that adoption is an act of evangelism and missions. It is missions in that it is reaching out to a stranger. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." Now, a word of caution, a caveat, that while it is possible that the one you're adopting, and they may appear to be an angel, it's possible, but it's not probable. And that will become, and we have experience there echoing. I mean, you think you got an angel, but at about the age of 2, it would become apparent that they are not. And then at age 12, that will be indefatigably confirmed. And then when they get out of puberty at about 30, then you'll kind of know. But it is about missions. You are literally going to, you are deciding in your heart, you're adopting someone that was a stranger. Listen to what Jesus said about those when they said, "When did we do this for you?" Matthew 25:35. "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home." What adoption is inviting someone that is a stranger into your life, into your love, as God did for us. But not only is it missions, it's actually evangelism. I think in some ways that the home, being a place of evangelism, is lost many times in Christianity. Yes, it's supposed to be a reprieve from the world, but it's not to be isolated. It's to be insulated, but not isolated from ministry. Our homes ought to provide places where some can come in who are in need or in strangers and see Christianity up close and personal. Again, Hebrews 13:2, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers." And the word for hospitality there is a word that was used of strangers, people that you didn't know. Now, we can do that. We can be hospitable to people that we know and love. But this was a word that was used in the first century of those that someone didn't know, a Christian being hospitable to them. Again, in the movie Blindside, there was just a real poignant moment for me, and I think probably for others. But Sandra Bullock was playing Leanne Toohey. And there came a time, and they were very wealthy, and they took Mike, and they had made him a bedroom. And so she took him up there, and she opened the door, and she said, "This is yours." And he just looked at it for a moment, and then he said, "I never had one of these." And she looked kind of quizzical and said, "You never had a bedroom?" He said, "No, a bed." That's what sometimes we're offering through adoption. Seventh, adoption is an act of faith and love. It is an act of faith in that you don't know how it's going to be in a year or 5 years or 10 years. And actually, once a person begins pursuing adoption, and we've seen this, they don't really know what's going to happen through the adoption process. Just because a lot of other people have been through it doesn't make yours exactly the same. Sometimes it can be heart-wrenching. It can challenge you in every way. It is indeed an act of faith. But not only that, it is an act of love. And we remember why we're adopted into the family of God is that God so loved the world. And I think every child that's adopted, if they forget this for a second, if they do not hang on to it, it is a sad tragedy, and that is they know they are loved because someone out of love picked them out of the world, if you will. One of the fears of adopting, and I think there are many, but one of them is that, and I have dealt with this through the years, of if you don't have children, or even if you do have children, will I be able to love them like I would love my biological child? And I think that's a wonderful thing for a parent to have that question. But what happens is, when you adopt, though you don't forget technically, if somebody asks you, but they're just your child. And that problem of loving vanishes. It is gone. It is something you're concerned at the beginning, but not once you've adopted. This eighth thing I would say, it's a choice for life. Why spiritually did we need God to adopt us? It is because our lives were a mess. Our future was dreadfully bleak and perilous. We're in a situation spiritually that none of us could extricate ourselves from or liberate ourselves. We needed someone who was able to do that for us. And that is the same way. A birth mom and dad, they may have made decisions along the way because of short-sightedness, selfishness, sinfulness, just like all of us did that pulled us away from God. But when we come to the time of adoption, this is what I would say. That though that birth mom, and if the dad is in the picture, when they choose to allow their child to be adopted versus abortion, I believe that, regardless of the decisions that brought them, is a choice of love. And that's what a child who has been adopted ought to always remember. You know, it's very easy, even if you grew up in a certain home, to look back and focus on what your parents failed at and what they did wrong and become bitter. But you know, they did some things right, or you wouldn't be here and I wouldn't be here. And so they can remember that, and I would even go a step further. It's not only a decision of love, it is a courageous decision. Because many times, the mom is virtually alone. Maybe the man's gone. Not always. Maybe the family wanted her to abort. And the isolation and the loneliness that she must feel would take an incredible amount of courage to walk that road when she didn't have to. 9. Adoption is a great reward. Ephesians 4 tells us that Christ led captivity captive, and now we love Him, we give love to Him. But why is that? Because He first loved us. And that is true with adoption. The parent loves the child first, but the great reward of that is that the child loves the parent. Christ defeated Satan at the cross, and when parents adopt, many times they are defeating Satan's plan to destroy and ruin another life. Child rearing is trying. It is difficult. It is every step of the way. It is an act of faith, but it is as well very rewarding. When you take that child and you see that child that's adopted, and by every other measure this would not have happened, and they grow up to love God and to be God-honoring, that is a great reward. When that child grows up and, or at some point says, "I love you, Mom," I love you, Dad. And thank you for loving me. That is a reward. And you are rich, and rich indeed. I believe the birth mom in many situations would find herself, if she sees that happen to that child, she would be thankful and very proud as well. As a child grows older that is adopted, and even again, those that may come out of bad situations, we were loved. You were loved, or you wouldn't be here. There were all kind of mistakes and all kind of mess-ups and all kinds of sin involved. That's right. And that's what we do as sinners. We mess up an extraordinary amount. Well, let me say something to you, and I pray you track with me on this. But I've come to believe that parenting is very little biology, and the vast majority, 95%, relational. Now, let me give you an example without talking about adoption for just a moment. What if you were a child and you grew up because of divorce or something like that, but you were never around one of your parents? So 30 years passes, or 20 years, whatever, and all of a sudden they want to be around you. You know what? You are biologically connected as if they were there every day, but something's gone and you can't gain it again. It's called relationship. Maybe you go to their home and you're sitting in your biological mom or biological dad's home and you just happen to scan the room and all the family photos. You're not in it. And every memory that's reflected upon and every past event, you're not in it. You walk out of that situation and you realize that parenting is almost exclusively relationship. You're still as biologically connected as ever. But what you lost was the relationship. You know, I watch, and sometimes a child that's adopted, and years ago it wasn't as open about your birth parents and so forth, but a child grows up and they want to find their biological parent. And everybody just talks about the biological connection, and I'm not denying that totally. But when you listen to the questions, why do you want to find your biological parent? Why do you want to talk to them? They might say something like this: I just need to know why they didn't keep me. That's not a biological question. It's a relational question. Or they say something like, afterwards, I just wish they could have been a part of my life and I a part of theirs. It's not a biological issue. It's relational. Yes, there is that biological that you want to see, maybe some traits you have, where that came from. But 95% is relational. It's like you could have two uncles and one of them you were around all the time and one you saw every 10 years. They're equally your uncle. But what you have with one that you don't have with the other is relationship. You see, whether it's adoption or biological, parenting is this. It is a relationship. And the loss of the biological connection or having it doesn't change that. It is relationship. I pray that if God leads you or touches your heart or inclines you, as some have shared here, that maybe they began considering foster care. Maybe they began talking with each other before they were talking to anybody else. That you would be open to that leadership of God in your heart and life. And then I ask and encourage all of us to love this so much that we want to be a part. We can't all go in the home and be with the family every day, and all of us are not going to adopt any more than all of us are going to go on the mission field. But we can all have a part. And I pray that our hearts would be open to that. Again, we're going to have men at the back and the doors of the worship center, and you can give, and it all goes into the adoption fund to help actually parents to be able, who are willing in heart, but to be able to adopt. Would you bow your head and